Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this edition of News in Focus is your host, Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. And we're going to start right after it. We have breaking news from the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decision today. It's a temporary stay. Let me read it to you. It's from Epoch Times. And this is on the southern border, which is, of course, our most urgent crisis in this country. The issue that voters care about most, the Americans are becoming alarmed because of the increase in violent crime across the country with illegals pouring into our southern border, not to mention the over 100,000 in fentanyl deaths, overdoses with the fentanyl that China is providing to the Mexican cartels and pouring over our border, plus 9 million illegals that have poured over in the last 3 years. That's the estimate, maybe as high as 10 million. Think about that. That's nearly the entire population of the state of Ohio has poured over the border in the last 3 years under the Biden administration. Well, Texas and other southern states are doing all that they can. And of course, with border control that has their hands tied by the Biden administration that, first of all, put a freeze on President Trump's construction of the wall on the southern border. Texas Governor Abbott, of course, moved quickly to put up razor wire and containers that would block the way of illegals trying to pour in to different sections of the southern border on the border of Texas. But here comes a decision from the U.S. Supreme Court. It extends the freeze on Texas illegal immigration law. The Supreme Court has extended its temporary freeze of Texas law that would give local law enforcement the power to arrest and deport illegal immigrants. Let me go on. The U.S. Supreme Court issued an order on March 12th that extends for at least another week its temporary pause of enforcement of Texas immigration law, which would have allowed the state police to arrest people suspected of crossing the U.S.-Mexico border illegally. Justice Samuel Alito, who oversees the federal circuit handling the case, issued an administrative stay on Tuesday, postponing the implementation of Texas Senate Bill 4 until March 18th. The move allows a similar March 4th decision that imposed a temporary freeze on SB 4, which was signed into law by Texas Governor Greg Abbott in December of 2023 and was set to go into effect on March 5th. Justice Alito's March 4th order postponed implementation of SB 4 until March 13th, a move that gave the Supreme Court more time to review the case. But like the March 12th order, extending the stay for another week doesn't give any indication of the court's ultimate stance on the matter. Texas lawmakers passed SB 4 in a bid to give state and local law enforcement power to stem the flow of illegal immigrants into the Lone Star State. The bill makes it a criminal offense for anyone who isn't a U.S. citizen or national to enter the United States anywhere besides a lawful point of entry. It also provides a mechanism for the deportation of offenders while providing civil immunity to law enforcement and other officials who enforced its provisions. So this is breaking news. The court put another short stay on the laws that Texas passed of arresting and deporting those who have entered the United States over the southern border illegally. Well, this comes on the heels of the FBI also issuing a warning about security risks at the southern border. So, you know, this is where it's really getting hot and heavy at this point. So the FBI director, Christopher Wray, warns of dangerous threats at border smuggling network with ISIS ties. That's the Islamic terrorist organization of the Middle East. And so who are these individuals of military age? Most of them of military age pouring over the border from various countries around the world. something like 50 different countries, nationals, have crossed the southern border, many of them from Europe and, I'm sorry, not Europe, but the Middle East and Africa and Asia and even China. And so what the concern is here is that those with terrorist ties have been coming into the United States and are now sleeper cells within this country. And illegal immigration is the number one issue on voters' minds. Next Tuesday, March 19th, marks the primary here in the state of Ohio. And the Ohio Christian Alliance has provided a voter guide. Visit our website at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Or just search Ohio Christian Alliance. And right at the top of the page, you will see the Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide. Now, this is a 9-page voter guide. We have surveyed 350 candidates running for Ohio House, Ohio Senate, Congress, and the U.S. Senate. Those who responded have been published in the voter guide. We do not endorse candidates, but we do provide this information for you, the voter, so that you might make a more informed decision when you cast your ballot for these elected officials. So, again, we have at the top of the race, of course, the presidential race. Mr. Trump is all but the nominee for the Republican Party after nearly sweeping Super Tuesday. And the last challenger dropped out. Nikki Haley did drop out of the race, suspended her campaign. We also have a special note here in Ohio in the 9th Congressional District. That's where Marcy Kaptur has been a congresswoman for a number of years, the Democrat up there in District 9. She is being challenged by three Republicans remaining in that race. Derek Marin is one of them. Mr. Riedel and another gentleman are in that race in the 9th Congressional District. The news there is that J.R. Majewski has dropped out. So there's Steve Lacanow, Derek Marin, J.R. Majewski has dropped out of the 9th Congressional race. So we just say don't waste your vote voting for him because he has dropped out. So it's basically down to Derek Marin, Steve Lacanow. They did fill out the Ohio Christian Alliance candidate survey. That's District 9. You will find that in the voter guide. And so you want to, Craig Riedel is the other candidate there. He did not fill out our survey. But you want to take a look at the voter guide. Candidates for the 1st Congressional District filled it out, the 2nd, the 5th, the 8th, the 9th, what we just spoke about, the 10th Congressional District, the 11th Congressional District, the 13th, and the 14th Congressional District. Here at the 13th Congressional District, that's Summit County, Stark County, you have two Republicans facing off against each other. That's a pretty hot race there with Chris Banwig and Kevin Coughlin. Kevin Coughlin, former state senator. Chris Banwig is a current councilman in Hudson, and they are facing off against each other. Lots of interest in that primary race. Of course, also the U.S. Senate race. That's with three Republicans vying for the nomination to face off against current U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown, who is the Democrat. And many think that this is a pickup for the Republicans in November. Secretary of State Frank LaRose is in the race. Cleveland businessman Bernie Marino and Matt Dolan, state senator, is in that race. And right now that race is too close to call, very close between Frank LaRose and Bernie Marino, and there's a lot of jockeying around in this last week before Tuesday's primary, and we want to encourage you to get out and vote on Tuesday, and so early voting is wrapping up. By the way, early voting is a little bit down as far as previous years, as far as early voting, but a lot of Republicans, conservatives vote on Election Day, so it looks like Election Day is going to be something on Tuesday, March 19th. And again, that information on the U.S. Senate race between Frank LaRose and Bernie Marino is on our website. I'm going to go over a couple of the questions for you. We have spent a lot of time, well, we have a 7-page survey we submit to federal candidates. So they have to cover a lot of material when they're serving in the U.S. Senate. And so that's why we cover a lot of issues on life, on religious liberty, on defense and taxes on the family and the southern border, and a number of other issues are in that survey. We take a selection of those questions, and in this case, 14 of the responses were posted and published in the voter guide. So I want to take you through some of the ones that are focusing on the southern border, as we just talked about, that is the number one issue by far across the board with exit polls, with these early primaries. That's what Americans are most concerned about because of what's happening in our southern border. It's literally an invasion. So the first question is, prohibiting immigrants with communicable diseases such as tuberculosis, leprosy, and HIV from entering the country. The response would be support, oppose, undecide. Both gentlemen expressed support for prohibiting immigrants with communicable diseases. Well, folks, they're not being vetted with these things in a processing center. And so this is what the concern is. Actually, leprosy has been found in the United States. Something, tuberculosis that was wiped out decades ago has reemerged in the United States again because of these illegals coming into the country, all these migrants, HIV and other diseases that we've not seen in many years is on the rise. And so it's a health concern. That's what your government's supposed to do. It's supposed to protect the citizenry through borders and through the U.S. military. And the Biden administration is failing to do that. Maybe you saw the State of the Union address by President Biden. By the way, it looked like a Democratic pep rally. It was really shameful at times. He even attacked the U.S. Supreme Court that was sitting down front. No president has done that. It's just outside of protocol. It's out of all decency and respect for the third branch of government. But, you know, Mr. Biden, you just wonder at times, was he given some kind of amphetamines to give him some energy that night? Because he seemed to have boundless energy, at least for that hour. When you see him the next couple of days, he is lethargic. He's forgetful. He stares off into the camera. He's been out on the campaign trail. There's certainly something health compromised, to say the least, of our current president. That's no secret. Congress is actually doing an investigation right now. Congressman Jordan's Judiciary Committee had hearings today on that very fact. And so this is not going to be over. You're going to watch closely as this campaign continues. Is it now, for all intents and purposes, the two nominees for presidency this November will be Donald J. Trump running for his second term and running again representing the Republicans. That will officially come at the convention, of course, by the way. But then President Biden is going to be the nominee, as it seems at this point, for the Democrats. So that's what we're looking at for the presidency, the U.S. Senate race here in Ohio. We're waiting to see what happens on the March 19th primary. So again, a very close race between Frank LaRose and Bernie Moreno, and even Matt Dolan is making some moves, as there was a couple endorsements that came his way this last week. I do want to say that there is a Trump rally. President Trump is coming to the state of Ohio. It was just announced last night. He's coming on Saturday down there in the Dayton area. And so you might want to look that up. There are free tickets just for attendance of the rally. But President Trump is coming to Ohio. But I'm going to go through the rest of these questions that we submitted in our voter guide on the southern border. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back on the other side. And I want to share with you the rest of these questions we asked the candidates on the most important issue of illegal immigration and the southern border. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This is Chris Long, host of News in Focus, announcing my new book, For Their Honor, How the D-Day Prayer Was Added to the World War II Memorial. This book tells the 11-year story of how one of the largest mass prayers in history was added to the World War II memorial. The D-Day prayer was one of FDR's fireside chats, but it stands alone as an incredible moment in American history. The date was June 6, 1944. Operation Overlord, the D-Day invasion of Western France, was already underway by the Allied nations. News reports throughout the day were released from General Eisenhower's headquarters with short statements but with few details on what was happening with the landings and on the beaches of France. The American public anxiously awaited throughout the day to hear from President Roosevelt for more details on the historic invasion. What they heard that evening was a president inviting them to join him in prayer. This book will inspire and encourage your faith. You can order yours today at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Well, we do have a special offer for you, the listeners of News in Focus. Actually, if you're the third caller right now, we'll ship you out a copy of For Their Honor, the book that tells the 11-year journey of how we added FDR's D-Day prayer at the World War II Memorial. That would be the third caller. Leave your name and address and your phone number if you're getting the message recorder, but the third caller will send out a book to you free of charge. Also, if you would like to support this program, the News in Focus broadcast, for a contribution of $25, we will ship out the book to you as well. And you can make that donation on our website at ohioca.org. That's Ohio Christian Alliance. Just search that. Make a donation. Just click on the tab there, and it will ship you out a copy of For Their Honor, actually an autographed copy of For Their Honor. So we appreciate you doing that. Well, let's get back to what we were talking about with the election and the ever-important issue of the southern border and the integrity of our borders here in the United States. Folks, by the way, illegals are pouring in over the northern border. There was reports up in Vermont, in New England states, also are trafficking and signs of illegals crossing from Canada in the United States. So we're getting both north and south, but the big numbers are coming over the southern border. Here's another question we asked the candidates. Prohibiting illegal immigrants from receiving welfare or any other government benefits, support, oppose, undecided. And you can see both Mr. LaRose and Mr. Marino both support prohibiting illegals, immigrants from receiving welfare. That's a good thing. The next question was putting troops on the southern border to stem the flow of illegal immigrants. Both Mr. LaRose and Mr. Marino support that position. Against Mr. Dolan did not fill out the survey, so we really don't know his position on these issues as far as the survey of the Ohio Christian Alliance. The next question is giving amnesty to illegal immigrants in the United States. Both Mr. LaRose and Mr. Marino oppose giving amnesty to illegal immigrants in the United States. And the next question is construction of a fence or wall along the entire U.S.-Mexico border to stop the flow of illegal immigrants entering the United States. Both Mr. LaRose and Mr. Marino support construction of a fence along the entire U.S. southern Mexico border. And that's got to happen. We've got to stop this immigration problem, and we don't know who's coming in this country. And quite honestly, the question is, do we believe in mass deportations? I was able to ask those two gentlemen. They both support, Mr. Marino adamantly supports deportation, mass deportation of those illegals who have crossed over the last 3 years that are here without any documents and this whole thing. So Mr. LaRose supports also deporting illegals as well, going through the process. Providing military aid to Israel, both supports continuing supporting military aid to Israel. But I know that there's a lot of concern about this bill that would fund Ukraine again. And a lot of members of Congress and a lot of candidates are turning away from just this ever ending funding in Ukraine and the war with Russia. We really need that to come to a conclusion here. There needs to be a peace settlement there. That just can't go on interminably. Here's another one. This is huge. This is the national debt. We're looking at $34 trillion in national debt. Get this. Mr. Biden's out there pushing Congress needs to pass this this aid bill, which would, by the way, allow 2 more million illegals to cross the border. It's what that bill allows, and fund it on the southern border. In addition to that, it funds Ukraine. Congress is adamant, the Republican Congress is adamant, we're not doing that. In fact, it would raise, get this, it would raise the debt limit to $45 trillion in just a few years, from $34 trillion to $45 trillion. It just is unsustainable, cannot happen. Congress is saying no and no. So again, here's the question. Congressional working plan to reduce the $34 trillion in national debt, support, oppose, undecide. Both Mr. LaRose and Mr. Marino support a working congressional plan to reduce the $34 trillion in national debt. That is in the Ohio Christian Alliance candidate voter guide, and you can get that on our website. You can just print that off, just click and print, and share that with family and friends. Also, if you'd like to be on our email list, you want to do that as well. There's a green button there where you can sign up for our email list, because we do send this out in an email as well. Make sure you do that. But we have surveyed the congressional candidates, also the Ohio House, the Ohio Senate. So lots of information, including the new maps. So you want to check that out, the current congressional maps in Ohio, also the Ohio Senate district maps, and the Ohio House district maps. So this is all very helpful information. Also, on the website of the Ohio Christian Alliance, you'll see an orange tab that says View Your Sample Ballot. Click here. And so when you click on that, you'll see State of Ohio with all the various counties. Click on the county that you live in. Put in your last and first name. It directs you to your local Board of Elections. And you put that in there, and it will bring up your sample ballot. So you'll be able to see what's on your ballot before you vote. I find that to be really helpful because when you go in there, you want to know what you're going to be able to see. Also, we did on this program, News in Focus, interview U.S. Senate candidates Bernie Marino and Frank LaRose. That link is there if you want to hear that interview with both of those candidates back-to-back. Also, the 13th Congressional with Kevin Coughlin and Chris Banwig is there as well. And so all that information is on our website at ohioca.org, or just search Ohio Christian Alliance. If you have some other questions, you can phone us at 330-887-1922 during business hours, and be happy to answer some of the questions you might have about the election. But again, folks, get out there and vote your values. And that's what's so important. And to be able to cast an informed vote. And that's why we produce the voter guide. Well, you're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. We're glad you tuned in tonight. And again, if you'd like a copy of For Their Honor, make a contribution of $25 or more. We'll ship that out to you. That includes the shipping cost and the suggested donation for the book. And we will autograph it. I will autograph it for you as well. And if it's for a service member, indicate that. You can phone it, the request for that book, at 330-887-1922. Again, phone us at 330-887-1922. Well, listen, thank you so much for listening tonight, and be praying for this election, and be praying for our country, that God would pour his grace out on his church, and that we as the people of faith would truly seek him in this hour. Thanks so much for listening. This is Chris Long, host of News in Focus, announcing my new book, For Their Honor, How the D-Day Prayer Was Added to the World War II Memorial. This book tells the 11-year story of how one of the largest mass prayers in history was added to the World War II Memorial. The D-Day Prayer was one of FDR's fireside chats, but it stands alone as an incredible moment in American history. The date was June 6, 1944. Operation Overlord, the D-Day invasion of Western France, was already underway by the Allied nations. News reports throughout the day were released from General Eisenhower's headquarters with short statements but with few details on what was happening with the landings and on the beaches of France. The American public anxiously awaited throughout the day to hear from President Roosevelt for more details on the historic invasion. What they heard that evening was a president inviting them to join him in prayer. This book will inspire and encourage your faith. You can order yours today at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue.
The following is a previously aired broadcast.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this edition of News in Focus is your host, Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Well, today is Super Tuesday, and there's a lot of states that are casting their ballots in the primary presidential election. They're voting for different primary challenges across the country. Our primary here in Ohio is on March 19th, 2 weeks from today. So want you to be able to be informed on the issues and the candidates. And you can do that by visiting the Ohio Christian Alliance website. That's ohioca.org. And we have some really helpful election tools for you for education. We don't endorse candidates, but we provide plenty of information for you to make and cast an informed decision on the March 19th primary. And we do encourage you to get out and vote on March 19th. The Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide is there. You'll also see a feature, a quick click, that will take you to the Secretary of State's website that will give you a sample ballot. It's always helpful to be able to review your ballot before you vote. Just click on that orange link and then click on your county, put in your name, and your ballot should come up and for your review, and then you can see what's going to be on your ballot. Also, we have a couple of interviews there with the U.S. Senate candidates of Bernie Moreno and Frank LaRose from a few weeks ago. Also, the 13th Congressional District, that's the Congressional District, Kevin Coughlin and Chris Vanwig facing off in that highly contested race. All this is happening on March 19th. Decision then as to who represents the Republican and or Democratic side come November. And so all that information is on our website, again, at ohioca.org. Well, we're going to talk about a very important issue. In fact, we have it in our voter guide. In fact, we asked the candidates, capital punishment for certain crimes such as first-degree murder, support or oppose or undecided. I have to tell you, the candidates that filled out the survey, both Republican and Democrat, resoundingly support the death penalty. Question is, how do we proceed with the death penalty in this state since the time of the DeWine administration? It's all but been suspended. Governor DeWine has put question marks in his administration over the method of carrying out capital punishment in this state for those who have committed the most heinous crimes and have been convicted in a court of law and are waiting on death row. In fact, if you go over the last four administrations, going back to Governor Taft, Governor Strickland, Governor Kasich, and the current administration, the most executions that took place were during the Democrat Strickland administration. I think only one or two has actually been carried out during DeWine's 6 years. He's now in his sixth year. So there is legislators that are moving forward, because this is not just an Ohio problem, but other places around the country. Those who oppose the death penalty have filed lawsuits and complaints and have put injunctions on the procedures of states to carry out the death penalty. But in Alabama, they're leading the way. And our guest on the phone joined in a press conference just in the last 10 days with legislators in the Ohio House who have come up with a very workable plan going forward, so that if we're going to have a death penalty, we need to actually carry it out. And with me on the phone is our state attorney general, Dave Yost. Mr. Attorney General, glad to have you on the program today.
Well, it's good to be with you, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on, and thank you for your position on this issue. And you're on the record. If we're going to have a death penalty, then we need to actually follow through with the justice of law. Tell me what your thoughts are about what Alabama has done and how that could actually help us here in Ohio.
So there's a lot of misinformation around this, which isn't surprising, and anything in the right-left divide. But Alabama became the first state in the union to use this technique. And it's basically using nitrogen, which is not a poisonous gas. It's in the air that you're breathing right now. In fact, there's more nitrogen in the air than there is oxygen. What the nitrogen does is it replaces the oxygen, and you will lose consciousness and eventually pass because of that. Now, there's been some discussion about how this fella in Alabama was writhing and gasping on the table, on the gurney, as the procedure was carried out. But he was a killer. He had told everybody he didn't want to die at all. He didn't want to die by nitrogen inhalation. And so he was strapped down. He didn't go willingly, which isn't surprising. And he wrestled against his restraints. But here's the much better evidence, because the people on the left were saying, "Oh, he was in pain and agony, and look at him writhing around and gasping." And the physician hadn't any of that. That was observing it. But here's the most important thing to know. In Europe, we're talking about oh-so-civilized Europe, woke, progressive Europe. They use this for assisted suicide. The attendant will administer, you go into a room, an airtight room, and they will flood it with nitrogen, and you'll go to sleep. Now, either this is a horrible, asphyxiation, which is how the left is trying to portray it, and Europe is using this voluntarily for people who are voluntarily committing suicide, or in fact, it actually is as advertised, and it's an effective and essentially painless way to go.
That's right. We're talking about nitrogen hypoxia is an alternative method for carrying out capital punishment that has been available by legislatures in other states, said State Representative Brian Stewart, who was with you in the press conference. In federal court proceedings, even defense counsels have conceded that an offender executed by nitrogen hypoxia would be quickly, painlessly, and humanely rendered unconscious, followed rapidly by death. There can't be really any objection to this new method. That's been the question here with those who oppose what has been happening as far as the different forms of execution. But we're really talking about carrying out the justice. These are people that have taken innocent life in the most heinous type ways. They've gone through the justice system, and without any doubt, they have been convicted, and the death penalty has been sentenced, and then they sit on death row for appeal after appeal, and we're talking years, in some cases decades. The Ohio public is very frustrated with this when justice is denied. And when it's delayed, it is denied. And there are victims, survivors who are waiting for justice. And I'm going to say from this, from the standpoint of the Ohio Christian Alliance, we stand resolute in support of the death penalty. In fact, from Leviticus 24:17, and I'm reading through the Old Testament right now, and I'm going to have a New Testament verse as well, but let me read the Old Testament. Leviticus 24:17, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. The Bible is very clear on this, on capital punishment. In Romans chapter 13, verse 4, it reads, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And it's talking about the magistrate in this case in the book of Romans. So both Old and New Testament, people ask me, well, what's your position? That is my position. It's a biblical position. And there has to be a fear of the justice and the judgment of civil society, a Judean Christian ethic. Which is, by the way, worldwide, and that innocent life is to be protected. And when you talk to people and say, well, I don't believe in the death penalty, well, they say that when they haven't actually faced the situation of a criminal act that has taken precious life from them. And so, you know, David, I say the good news here is because I know there's always every couple of years, the liberal media in Columbus says, oh, there's an effort to do away with death. I'm telling you, it's overwhelming, Democrat and Republicans filling out our survey that support the death penalty. Nobody really rejoices about the death penalty. It's one of those necessary processes of judgment and justice that has to be carried out. Nobody rejoices in it. But the fact of the matter is, it has to be upheld, and it has to be carried out. And when you have this suspension under the DeWine administration, quite honestly, I'm trying to be kind here, the governor has been disingenuous in sense, because I think he personally opposes the death penalty. He doesn't want that known, and to do this by way of process is not really right for Ohioans. You're not being truthful with the general public. And so now he's not going to be able to hide, because this thing's going to be out in the front. Legislature is going to move forward. We're going to have this debate again, it looks like. And the fact of the matter is, I will be very resolute with a coalition of groups that's saying this is a way forward that I think is very positive, that we need to give law enforcement the ability to carry out their duty.
Well, I appreciate your leadership, Chris. You talk about fulfilling the promise. The families that I've sat with and talked with, including the case that I handled myself, they all expected that justice would eventually be done. They understood that there was a necessary set of appeals, it was going to take time, but we promised as a society and as a prosecutor, I promised them as the representative of the society that we would seek justice, and if a jury agreed with our case, that one day justice would be done. We have an unkept promise to those families of the 123 people who are convicted worst of the worst on death row, and it's time that we either lived up, if I can say this in this day and age, manned up to the commitment, or we tell them that we don't have the stomach for it, and you know, tell them why we think it's wrong and we made the wrong commitment, and ask them to release us from the commitment. But we need to at least have the courage to own our convictions. This thing where we theoretically have the death penalty for the worst of the worst, but never carry it out, is the worst of all possible worlds. And I'm challenging the legislature to deal with this. They've got an abolition bill in front of them to get rid of the death penalty. They also have a bill to make it work again, technically, with the nitrogen bill. They need to do one or the other, not to allow this this stalemate to go on. You know, one other thing, you mentioned something that I think is so important for people to understand, Chris. Nobody rejoices in the taking of even a guilty life. It's a sober thing. And to all the people that, you know, sneer out there and you use words like bloodthirsty, I have something to say to them. I stood in front of 12 jurors and two alternates in the Delaware County Common Pleas Court. And I explained to them, standing 10 feet away from the defendant, I explained to them what he had done and why we thought that it was a crime. And I looked into their eyes and I asked them, if you agree with me, I need you to follow your duty and impose the sentence to kill that man. And I pointed at him. That was one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. This isn't some TV blow it up. It's not a first person shooter video game where you get an infinite reset button. This is serious stuff. And it's not about bloodthirst. It's about something really simple. It's called justice.
Well, that's right. And I'm reading here in this article reporting, and this may have been actually your quote, capital punishment has been recognized by the state of Ohio since 1803. It is now time for the authorization of other methods for carrying out capital punishment in addition to lethal injections. Oh, this was Mr. Plummer stated. But using nitrogen hypoxia, we are giving the system an additional resource for holding accountable those who have committed heinous crimes. Claims of a lack of access to lethal injections by Ohio's execution branch will no longer be the case. It is time that we stop postponing executions and give the families and victims the closure that they deserve. I agree with Mr. Plummer. I agree with Representative Stewart. I agree with you, Attorney General. It is time to move forward. So let me ask you, in what is the holdup currently with the carrying out of these executions of those on death row? What is the holdup? Is it the governor's office? Is it the administration or this bureaucratic office that oversees the carrying out of
It's the availability of the drug. So Ohio law currently says the only thing you can do is a lethal injection. And the companies that use those drugs or manufacture those drugs manufacture other things as well. And they say, we won't sell these things to you. And beyond that, if we sell them to you and you use them for purposes that we don't approve, in other words, if you use them for capital punishment, we're not going to sell any of our drugs to you. We're going to blacklist you. Now, nobody knows for sure whether they would follow up on that threat. I think that they would be, potentially open to a lawsuit, particularly if they did that all together and made it so that the state wasn't able to obtain these things from anywhere. But I really doubt that they're going to do that. Ohio buys a lot of drugs. We spend billions on through Medicaid and through other programs, VWC and within our the DRC as well. I don't think that that's true, but I'm not going to blame Governor DeWine for not wanting to roll the dice on that. And so here's the solution. Here's a workable way to do it. And you'll face up to the question, yes or no, are we going to have capital punishment? If the answer is no, at least own it. Get out there and explain why. I think we should continue to have capital punishment. And I'll be joining you, Chris, in this public debate to say that we need to. I'd love if we have a minute to explain why I think that's the case.
Well, we do. And Share with us your thoughts on the death penalty and why it needs to continue.
So I'd like you to consider an individual who has committed one of these worst of the worst kinds of murders, but they do it in a state where there is no death penalty. So they have life without parole, and that's what the liberals want us to believe is the solution for everything. Just lock them up, keep them away from us forever, but don't kill them. And so a lot of people are going, well, that makes a lot of sense. And in fact, since life without parole, or LWOP as prosecutors call it, it became available, that is the majority of the aggravated murder verdicts. The number of death penalty cases has gone down. And I don't have a problem with that. Those are decisions made about the individual fact. But let's go back to our hypothetical prisoner sitting in on death row, and he decides he's got nothing to lose. And so he takes a cook or a social worker or a guard, and he cuts their throat with malice aforethought, cold blood. That prison worker has a spouse, kids, maybe grandkids, and now they're gone. What is the penalty for that guy? Are we going to give him double super secret life without parole? You've already gone as far as you're allowed to go, and yet he gets to go further. What do we do in a situation like that? Well, there's only one option. At least in that situation, you have to have capital punishment, or you're declaring open season on other people in the prison, whether they be prisoners themselves or, you know, prison staff. And in fact, we have seen in other states that have abolished the death penalty, cases like this arrive. So logically, you're in a corner. You have to have capital punishment, at least for that guy. And once you've said, well, we're going to have some capital punishment, now we're arguing about what we're going to have capital punishment for. And I'm happy to have that debate. Maybe we need to have more. Maybe we need to have less. Personally, I think I wouldn't have a real problem with using the death penalty on sexual rape of children, you know, where there was no residual doubt that they had actually done the thing. You know, that's so heinous. But maybe we have too many things and we want to whittle it down. Great, let's have that debate. But don't tell me with a straight face that we don't need to have capital punishment, because at least for that situation where somebody is already guilty and serving life without parole, we need a further sanction.
We're talking with State Attorney General Dave Yost. We're talking about Ohio's capital punishment, the death penalty, and a new method that Alabama, the state of Alabama, just executed last month. And they've, in fact, their state attorney general said, other states, reach out to me because we have found a method that works very well, nitrogen hypoxia. And so, David, I think this is the way forward. We don't have to worry about a drug company banning us if we're going to use lethal injection. We'll have the method that we need to be able to carry out and fulfill the promises that we made to the victims, survivors of these heinous crimes in the state of Ohio. And in my opinion, uphold justice. In fact, as you and I both know, crime rates are off the charts right now in our big cities. The unpolicing of just crime gone wild has made a lot of people fearful. I get out and talk to community groups all across the state, and I ask for people a show of hands of how many have actually just been fearful of what's happening in our world today. I mean, 2/3 of the hands of the go up in the room. I've never seen anything like that. And so that's because we see crime rates skyrocketing, and we talk to law enforcement. You talk to them every day, of course, as Attorney General. That's why there has to be a deterrent. And when you don't have one, it's been suspended. We've got a real problem in this state. And I appreciate your leadership on this, and a coalition of groups will be supporting the death penalty and this new method to carry out justice in Ohio so that we can basically protect the innocent and penalize the guilty for what they've done.
Well, I appreciate that. This is ripe for the debate we're about to have. And Chris, I want to mention to you that on April 1st every year, the state Ohio state law requires me to publish a report, an annual report on the state of the death penalty in Ohio. So you'll want to mark your calendar on that. We will be releasing that again. Not to anyone's surprise, we will have more people staying longer time on death row.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Attorney General, we're just running out of time here, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to resend that report out to our membership. We'll be looking for that on April 1st. Thank you so much for being my guest today. And if people want to follow the fine work of the Attorney General's office, what's the website again?
Just Google Ohio Attorney General and you'll see it right at the top of your results.
And thank you for all the fine work that you do, and we'll stand shoulder to shoulder with you on this issue. Thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Chris. God bless.
God bless you, my friend, and we pray for you and your service for our great state.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is brought to you by the Ohio Christian Alliance.